Teddy Leeper just looked up. Paddy Leeper has an expression that I think all of us should adopt. Whenever Paddy is faced with a serious, life-threatening illness, and believe me, she's had a number of those, she says, God's either going to heal me or take me to heaven. Either way, I win! And the Apostle Paul agrees. Because he said in Philippians 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is Paul's attitude of gratitude showing. It permeates his letter to the Philippians. Rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances, because either way, I win. And he goes on to say this in verse 22, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Now that's a reminder for all of us. We are all still breathing. Our hearts are still beating. We're still living. We should all still be ministering to the Lord and to others. Last week, our focus was on that God began a good work in us and that God will bring it to completion. You remember, God ain't finished with me yet. In fact, Ed McGee came up at the luncheon and said, we're going to have a fundraiser. The fundraiser is we're going to raise money to pay for Harry to sing that country song that he quoted last week.
Amen.
And I said, well, I have a different fundraiser. We're going to make donations to have me not sing that song. Two jars, right. That was last week. This week, our focus is on that we still have good work to do because it ain't over till the fat lady sings, right? Now, here's the challenge for all of us. There's a phrase here, for me to live is Christ. I want you to attempt, and thinking about yourself very personally, I want you to attempt to replace the word Christ in that phrase with another word, such as, for me to live is money. Now, if that were the case, you'd have to change the second half, and to die is loss. Or there are other things you could put there. Put another word there. For me to live is pleasure. For me to live is grandchildren. For me to live is having fun. For me to live is having a nap. I thought I'd get an amen out of Judy on that one. They all lead to loss. You could also put a name there instead of the name of Christ. Try that. For me to live is the name of your spouse. Right there. For me to live is the name of your mom or your dad or your grandchildren or a grandchild. Paul's testimony should be our testimony. For me to live is Christ. Is Christ. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. But you already knew all that before you came in here, didn't you? I'm not telling you anything new. Here's something else that you already know that's not new. You are going to die. You're going to die. Just like Hezekiah heard when Isaiah came to him and he said, you're going to die. George Bernard Shaw said this, the statistics on death are quite impressive. One out of one people die. It was Benjamin Franklin who said this, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. But there is a huge difference between death and taxes. For instance, we know when our taxes are going to happen. We know when they're due. But only God knows the time of our death. If we die before we pay our taxes, we still owe them. But through his death, Jesus Christ paid the full debt for us, and so in our debt, We owe nothing more. We are forgiven. What a wonderful, wonderful difference. How would you define death? Listen to Paul's words again. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am going on living in the body, this will mean faithful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul said, I desire to depart. He defined death as a departure. Now, that's a very interesting choice of words because in the Greek, it has some very specific meanings. The word is analuo, and it's a vivid word. Here's one of the ways in which that word is applied in the Greek. It's striking the camp. It's pulling up, it's untying the ropes and pulling up the tent post and moving on. In other words, Paul was saying that death, departure, is moving on, moving on. During World War II, the British Royal Air Force was highly revered for the way in which they protected the city of London and other cities of that country. And many British pilots lost their lives in that war. And because of that, an interesting expression found its way into the lives of the British people. They never spoke of a pilot as having died. They always said instead that he was posted to another station. Death is moving to another station. That Greek word that Paul used for depart is also used by sailors to describe loosening the ropes and pulling up the anchor in order for the ship to set sail. Have you ever watched a boat or a ship sail off to the horizon and reach the horizon and slowly disappear? There she goes. There she goes. You can no longer see her, but you know that she's going to a different port somewhere. She's going to a new destination. Death is like that. Death can be like sailing into a new destination. This is why I read Psalm 107 at the beginning. God guided those sailors to their desired haven. That's what death is like. In Africa, there's a Christian tribe of natives who never speak of the dead as the departed. Instead, they triumphantly and they joyfully say they have arrived. I like that. Death is also arriving. There is nothing to fear about death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, as I was preparing this sermon, I became very aware that most of us in here are senior citizens. And when senior citizens get together socially, there's something that we tend to do. It's called an organ recital. We love to talk about our organs, our hearts, and our kidneys, and our skin. And we love to talk about our joint pains, and our back pains, and our knee pains. Here a pain, there a pain, everywhere a pain. We praise some doctors, and we defame some other doctors. We talk about this wonderful pill that I took, and then we talk about the side effects of this other pill that we took. And we give thanks for the good pills, and we curse the bad pills. What's going on? Several things. For one thing, we are revealing what consumes us most of the time in those conversations. And we're also engaging in the fact that misery loves company. Amen? And also, we're looking for support from somebody. We're looking for comfort from somebody. We all need comfort, and we all need support. But we are also recognizing the eternal truth that we are all dying. Our bodies are winding down. We will all depart and arrive. And we're all in this together. Birth, life, death. We have no control over our birth. We have quite a bit of control over our life. What about our death? Do we have control over dying? Ultimately, the answer, of course, is no. But we can have control over our attitude about dying and death. So I challenge us all. Let's have an attitude check. Do you see death as pulling up the ropes, pulling up the anchor, setting sail, and watching the ship sink? Or do you see it as total loss or gain? Do you need an attitude adjustment about death? Do you need some help? Well, God gives it to you. Let's think about a few of them. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Revelation 21:4, I'm paraphrasing. God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will pass away. You will be able to say goodbye. You will never say goodbye to your loved ones again when you go to heaven. You will be able to say goodbye to your painkillers and your antidepressants. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. You're going to get a housing upgrade. And you're not going to have to increase your utility bills or pay any extra taxes. Isn't that good news? 1 John 3:2, we know that we shall all be like him. That means that all us husbands in here who think that we are Mr. Perfect are actually going to be able to wear that badge someday when we get there. To die is gain, RB. Still, too many people and too many Christians are afraid of death, so they just don't talk about it. They don't make any spiritual preparations for death, and therefore they don't make any practical preparations for death either. And when the time comes, those who are left discover sometimes the hard way how selfish it is to not plan. If you are blessed enough to have loved ones in your life, love them enough to do some planning with them. Get practical for the inevitability of your death. It is spiritual for Christians to sometimes be practical about some things, especially this. I'm reminded of 2 Kings 20, verse 1. I read it earlier. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah went to him and said, this is what the Lord says, put your house in order. That is God's word. Put your house in order because you are going to die. That is God's word. Is your house in order, brothers and sisters? Can you depart in peace, brothers and sisters? Can you depart and have your loved ones be at peace as well? For instance, you need to have a legally correct, up-to-date last will and testament. You say, well, of course I've got one. Well, when is the last time you looked at it? When was the last time you considered updating it? Is it really legal still today? Do your loved ones even know where to find it? Do you crawl into a cave and procrastinate some of these things? I'm amazed. I would say that the younger people are probably the ones that live in a cave with procrastination over this. But I'm amazed to discover that there are some seniors in here who haven't done their full planning. Loved ones. Love your loved ones enough to take care of this basic, simple necessity. In addition to that, you need to have a living will, and you need to have a power of attorney. And if you don't know what those things are, get educated. And if you don't have them, correct it. And again, make sure that your loved ones know where these things are. Let me recommend something to you. Go home today or this week, and make a document for yourself. Mine's on my computer. Make a document for yourself that spells out everything that your family members might need to know if you die first. And then talk to them about that document and what's in it. And don't be afraid. Love them enough to talk about it. For instance, where is the money? How do you get to it? Who are the people that you want notified when you die? How do you reach those people? Are there some keys in the drawer? What are they for? Do you subscribe to magazines that need to be canceled? Are there any scriptures that you want read at your funeral? Are there any songs you want sung at your funeral, at your memorial service? Get educated about funerals and burial, and select your funeral home now, and make all the plans now, and consider prepaying for all of it now. Are you going to say amen? Okay. Lisa said amen, and Truman said, yes, sir. Think with details in your minds, brothers and sisters. Here's an illustration. Have you ever gone on a big trip? Maybe you've gone to Europe or across the ocean. Did you have to get a passport? Did you have to make some reservations? Did you have to stop the mail? Did you have to get somebody to feed the pets? Did you have to get some cash out of the bank? Did you make a packing list for yourself? I'll bet you counted your socks and your underwear before you packed that suitcase. In other words, did you prepare for your departure? Well, death is like that. Prepare for your departure. Here's another living illustration, and this one goes a little deeper. Have you ever moved from one address to another? Oy vey. I mean, John and Elaine did that very recently, right? Dale Powell is in the beginning stages of that trauma right now. I know Debbie White just recently moved. When you move from one address to another, there are countless things you have to do to get organized in preparation for the move. How much more significant is your final move from this life into eternal life? Plan for it. Prepare for it. Those who are prepared to die are the most prepared to live. I may die right now. Thank you, Truman. Maybe I should say it again. Those who are prepared to die are the most prepared to live. For those who walk in the flesh, this is a very uncomfortable subject. For those who walk in the Spirit, to die is gain. John 11:26. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Another love letter from God, Romans 14:7. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Here's another love letter from God, 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Revelation 14:13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Christians do not die. They just move to a new residence. Hebrews 12:1, and I close with this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Brothers and sisters, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Either way, we win. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth have entered into the minds and hearts and the actions of any person here who needs spiritual preparation for coming into your presence, who needs practical preparation for their loved ones in order to be ready for this great moving on that we will all enjoy someday. Thank you, Lord, for the certainty and the promise of heaven itself. Thank you that we will see you face to face and that we will be like you. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.